We're doing Hosea, the second chapter. We're up to the 10th, 11th verse. We'll dedicate our learning this morning to Chaya Sara bat Yosef. Hosea had been talking to the Jewish people, and Hosea is prophesizing towards the period of the end of the first temple, the latter half of the first temple. And Hosea has been telling them, you, the righteous ones, tell the other people to repent. According to one understanding, he's telling Yehuda and Binyamin to tell the 10 tribes to repent, to take the people to task and say, look, if you guys don't stop going after idol worship, then God will pay you back. And God compared them to a woman who was unfaithful to her husband. And Hashem says, she's like a woman who says, let me go after my lovers. They're the ones that give me everything I need. They're the ones that give me my food, my clothing. And Hashem says, because she speaks this way, I will block her path with thorns. I will fence up the way she wants to go, and she'll find herself lost. She'll try to chase after her lovers, and she won't reach them. She'll seek them out, she won't find them. And then, when she sees that they really don't care for her, when she sees that all the peace treaties that she made with the different nations didn't last, and at the time of need, then she'll say to herself, let me go back to my first husband, because I was better off then than now. So this is a reference to the Jewish people in the period of the end of the first temple. They were relying on all kinds of peace treaties, and God had warned them, the peace treaties won't last. You have to repent. You have to come back. I can protect you, but the other nations that you have treaties with them, they will not protect you. And the Jewish people kept thinking, no, the reason we're doing well is because of all our different peace treaties with the different nations. And God says, no, you're like a woman who has lovers, and she assumes the lovers are the ones taking care of her. Her husband is the one that takes care of her. He pays the bills. He takes care of bringing food home and bringing her clothing. We'll begin with Pasuk Yud. Vehi lo yadea. And she didn't know. She didn't take note. Ki anochi natati lah hadagan ve'atirosh ve'hayitzar. That I am the one who gave her the grain, the wine, the oil. Vechesef hirbeiti lah v'zahav asu labal. I gave her a lot of silver, I gave her gold. What'd she do with them? She used them for her idols. God says, I gave the Jewish people wealth, and they've used the wealth to form different idols. The idols of Baal, which was, they believed that God gave the power to different constellations and different stars, so they'd make figurines in those shapes and they'd worship them. Lachein ashuv. So God says, okay, if that's the way she's behaving, so I'll take back the things I've given her. Vilakachti digani bito vitiroshi bimohado. When the grain ripens, I'll take it back. I'll send hail, I'll send locust, I'll take them back at the time that they think to harvest it. Vihitzalti tzamri ufishti lechasot et ervata. And I'll hold back my wool and linen that I gave her to cover herself so she could be modest. She's revealing herself to the nations anyways. So Hashem says, I'll take it back. The sheep will die. They won't have the wool. They won't have the linen. They won't have garments to wear. God says, I gave them material wealth, and they used it for their own pleasures and then to serve idols as sacrifices for idols. God says, then I'll take it back. Ve'ata, and now, agale et navluta le'inei me'ahaveha. When I take back my wool and linen, I'll show how disgraceful she is when she's uncovered, and they won't be able to save her. Ve'ish lo yatzilena miyadi. Who could help her if I don't help her, God says. Like this woman who her husband says, I'll stop supporting her, none of them will support her. And so too Hashem says about the Jewish people, if I don't protect them, who's going to help them out? None of these peace treaties will last. If they're going to be left to the forces of nature, naturally there's no reason they should last. So if they think that the reason they're lasting is because they're worshipping the idols, they have peace treaties with the nations, God says, okay, I'll just take my protection away. There are levels of punishment that God inflicts upon the Jewish people. The first level is that God says, I hide my face. I just don't get involved. I let nature take its course. You don't believe I'm running the show, so I'll leave you to the hands of nature. And then nature of its own will punish you. There's another level. If the Jews don't take note and they continue sinning, then God says, okay, then I'll take, so to speak, of my own time to punish you. I'll focus on punishing. But the first level is, Hashem says, you don't believe I'm running the show, you don't want to work with me, fine, I'll pull back, see how you fend for yourself. Hashem says, I will reveal her shame to all her lovers, and believe me, no one will save her from my hand. V'hishbati kol mesosa chaga chodshav v'shabata. Hashem says, I will cease her rejoicing periods, her yamim tovim, her Rosh Chodesh, her Shabbos, v'chol mo'ada, and all times they have of gathering, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. If they are not going in the way I want, then God says, I'm not leaving them these holidays. I'm going to put them in the hands of the nations. They won't give them time off. When they're going to be in forced servitude, the Jews were sold for slavery when they were exiled. Hashem says they won't have time to take off the Yamim Tovim. Vashimoti gafna utehinata asher amera etenahimali asher natenuli me'ahavai. Hashem says, and I will destroy, I will make desolate her grapevines, her fig trees, that she declared about those orchards. She said, they are a gift that were given to me by my lovers. In Tanakh, a gift that's given to a prostitute is called an etnan. There's a biblical prohibition, etnan zona, a gift that was given to a prostitute may not be brought to the Temple Mount. There's a special prohibition about any animal or any gift that was given for her services that's prohibited from being brought to the temple. So when she says, etinahimali, they are a gift to me, etina is not only a gift, etina is a specific reference to a gift for a specific service. So she says, you know why I have this material wealth? You know why I have the orchards? My lovers gave it to me. So Hashem says, okay, then I'll destroy it. Bisamtim liyar va'achalatam chayat hasadeh. God says, I'll make those orchards into a desolate area. They'll become a wild growing forest. The wild animals will consume whatever is there. And this is a reference to the fact that the enemies came up and they took all the wealth. They took all the produce of the land of Israel. Ufakadti aleha. Hashem says, I will take her to task. I'll pay her back. Et yimei ha-be'alim asher taktir lahem. For the days that they served the different Baal idols, I'll pay her back for those days. Vatad nizmah v'chelyata. And she adorned herself with the different adornments for her lovers, meaning they used the sacrifices, they used whatever wealth they had to sacrifice for the idols. Vatelech acharei me'ahaveha. And she went after her lovers. Hashem says, I'll pay her back for that. Voti shachecha ne'um Adonai. In me, she forgot, says God. If she forgot me, lachein. So therefore, hinei anochi mefateha. If she forgot me, then I will seduce her. Veholachti hamidbar. I'll take her out to the desert. I'll take her out to a place that's desolate. Vidibarti al liba. And there I'll speak to her heart. I'll take her where none of her lovers can seduce her. I'll take her where she won't have her own nationality. I'll take the Jewish people out to exile. Then there won't be peace treaties. Then they won't kid themselves and think our future is in the hands of these peace treaties, in the hands of the nations where if we do well with the nations, everything will go well. God says, if that's what you think, Then I'll seduce her, I'll take her out to the desert, and there I'll be able to convince her. If I could only take her away from the bad influences. If that's what she needs, that's what I'll do. I'll destroy the well. She'll see that no one else is helping her out, and there I'll be able to talk to her and convince her to come back. Now, Chazal say about this pasuk, that this pasuk is not only a reference to the destruction of the first temple, it is a reference to the coming of the Mashiach as well. That the Jewish people will reach a point where we won't discuss the previous prophecy, but on this pasuk Chazal say that when the Mashiach comes, he will lead us out to the desert and we'll spend a period out in the desert where no one will be able to help us, and God will make man come down again, and then ultimately we'll come back to Israel as though Moshe were leading us back into Israel. So this pasuk, even though it's really an allusion to what would happen with the destruction of the first temple, it also has reference to what's forthcoming. And as we discussed, that the prophets that were recorded, Chazal had on tradition 2 million prophecies or more. They recorded only those that have a message for every generation. So this Chazal understood has a very direct message for every generation. Benatati la et kirameha misham. God says, I will support her over there in the desert. I'll give her vineyards. And the depths of destruction will become the opening of hope. That's why they hoped that's what everyone hoped was the Holocaust. Eimek achol, the depths of destruction would become petach tikva, the opening of hope. When from the destruction came the state of Israel, so many people hoped that's this prophecy. Petach tikva, yeah, comes from here, yeah. And over there, God says, over there she'll raise her voice and song just as she had sung in her youth. And like the day that she came up from Egypt, the way she sang there, so too she will sing when out in the desert again, we will bond again. And on that day, God says, you will call me my husband, my beloved, Ishi, my Ish, my man. And you will no longer call me your master. Meaning, there are two terms that could be used as a reference to one's one's husband. She can call her Ba'ali, which is, in modern Hebrew, that's the term that's used. But that literally means the one, it could mean the one who's the master, the one who's, the term Ba'al, it doesn't necessarily have to be derogatory, but because they used the word Baal also for the different idols they were worshipping, so God says, you say, I am Baali, that's my master, well, you also believe that the Baal is your master. Ishi, when you use the term Ishi, my man, so that's a term that's not a reference to, that's not a term that's used for the idols, so God says, that's the term that I want you to use for me. A lot of feminists today refer to this pasuk, and they prefer to call their husband Ishi and not Ba'ali. Okay, they don't realize that the word Ish also means owner of. Elimelech is called Ish Naomi. And in Jewish thought, we don't think of a husband and wife that he's the master, she's got to do whatever he says, etc. The idea is he's responsible for her well-being. She's also responsible for his well-being, but he's more responsible than her. What's he signing on the ksuba? When they get married, he signs in the ksuba, I will take care of you, I will feed you, I will clothe you, I will do everything it takes to make life good for you, up to the clothes, the shirt off my back. Umeglimai dal ktefai. We sign in the ksuba, up to the shirt off my back, literally. I am responsible to make life good for you. So it's not a concept that she's like a person owns a piece of land, he owns his wife. The idea is no, he has responsibilities to his wife. Vasiroti et shemot ha-be'alim mipiham, and I will remove the names of Baal from her mouth. She will stop referring to these other forces she believes in. Velo yizachiru od bishmam. They'll no longer call them by their names. We have a special halacha. When we speak about idols, we don't use their names. We always use a derogatory term. When we say idol worshippers, so sometimes we say Oved Kochavim, those that serve the stars, and sometimes we say Ovdei Gilulim, those that serve feces. We always change the name. We don't even want to give them the honor of using their name. The name is always a way of honoring a person. When David HaMelech is complaining in Tehillim, he says, they're always mocking me. So David says, they don't even call me by name. They call him the son of Yishai. Giving someone a name is already a level of honor. So when it comes to idols, we don't even give them that honor. Velo yizachiru od bishman, they will no longer be mentioned by their names. Becharati lahem berit bayom haru im chayat hasadeh v'imof hashamayim v'remes ha'adama. God says, and then I will make with them a treaty, a pact, that they will have peace with the wild animals of the fields, the birds of the heaven, the creepy crawly creatures on the earth. V'keshet v'cherev u'milchama eshbur min ha'aretz v'hishkavtim lavetach. And I will break from upon earth the concept of bow and arrow and sword and war. There will cease to be all these terrible things on the land, and then I will let them rest in peace. So the promise that God says, I will make them a peace treaty with wild animals, the idea is I'll make a peace treaty with the nations. The nations will have peace with them, and we could even understand that the treaty goes so far as to say, I'll even cease to have wild animals afflict them. Now this part of the prophecy, we could think that that's happening today. I mean, most inhabited territories don't have snakes and bears and lions. We go to the zoo to see them. We don't have them around here anymore. If it's to be understood literally. I think we'll pause here and we'll finish, we'll move forward next time. The next psukim are fascinating psukim. They rastichli, the psukim we say every morning as we don our tefillin. Yeah. That God says, I will engage you. From now on, you will be my betrothed, you will be my engaged. Be'ezrat Hashem, this is where we'll pick up next time. At the end of class, we'll have to discuss what we want to do during the Ben Hazmanim break. We'll see.